Sabbath. There's nothing like being in God's house on a Saturday morning, wouldn't you all agree?
Amen.
I'm also smiling because I have just, it's funny I'll tell you, I just realized that these pulpits are definitely not designed for me. But you got to work with what you have. So when I get to heaven, I'll ask God why that's the case, but he knows why. I was at Pastor Gomez's house 2 days ago on Thursday, and while I was at his house, he asked me what I was going to preach on. And after I told him what I was going to preach on, he said, "Well, brother, you better be prayed up because that's one of the devil's last day deceptions." And so today I hope to tell you some of the last day deceptions that Satan has in these last days. So my hope and my prayer is that we would all be ready to hear what it is that God has to say to us in his word. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to come together and to study the Bible. Lord, I believe that very soon we will no longer have the privilege that we have now to gather together as brothers and sisters and to be able to open up the word of God. So Father, my prayer now is that while we have the opportunity to do so, that we would take the study of your word very seriously. And Lord, may you bless every single person here under the sound of my voice. Lord, I pray that you would speak through me in a very special way. And Lord, I just pray that you would bless my brothers and sisters here, Lord, that we would understand what Satan is doing in these last days. Thank you for answering this prayer, for we ask it in Jesus' name. And God's people said, Amen. Amen. You know, it's with a sincere heart that I make this statement that I don't think most of us here understand the times that you and I are living in. In fact, I would go as far as to say this. How many of you have heard the word Satan before? We've all heard the word Satan, right? But we've heard that word so much that we become desensitized to what it is that he's doing in these last days. In fact, when we hear of a divorce that takes place, a person that perhaps is addicted to drugs, a family that has been broken up, we have now come to believe that it's just simply a part of life. But as one of my favorite preachers, C.D. Brooks, used to say, I believe there's a devil behind the door. And the question is, are we ready to stand? I want to invite you to go with me in your Bible, to go with your Bibles to Luke chapter 22 and verse 31. Once again, we are going to the book of Luke chapter 22 and verse 31. Are we all there? The Bible says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may what? I believe that's one of the best pictures we can get of what Satan is trying to do in these last days. I have a question. How many of you here want to be in heaven with Jesus? Well, guess what? The devil has the same desire, but for you to be out of heaven without Jesus. And so we must be acquainted with what Satan is wanting to do in these last days. Let's go to the book of Revelation, chapter 12. Revelation, chapter 12, verse 12. If you can give me an amen, too, and once we're there. The Bible says, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. Because Satan understands that his time is short, and that very soon Jesus is going to come back to take his people home, what do you think Satan is doing? He understands that, right? And because he understands that, he's doing all that he can to make sure that you will not be found in God's kingdom when he comes. The question then is, how was the devil looking to deceive people and destroy them in these last days? I want to read to you a quote that's found in the Great Controversy, page 552 and page 560. He, speaking of Satan, has power to bring before men the appearance of their departed friends. The counterfeit is perfect. The familiar look, the words, the tone are reproduced with marvelous distinctness. Many, what does that word imply? The majority, right? Many will be confronted by the spirits of devils personating beloved relatives or friends and declaring the most dangerous heresies. These visitants will appeal to our tenderest sympathies and will work miracles to sustain their pretensions. We must be prepared to withstand them with the Bible truth that the dead know not anything and that they who thus appear are the spirits of devils. I believe that one of the main ways that Satan will try to deceive people in these last days will be through spiritualism. In fact, my dad is now an elder in the Seventh-day Adventist Church as of a couple months ago, and I praise God for that. But you wouldn't believe this. Before he was an elder in that church, 7 years ago, our family actually used to be into spiritualism. And my dad told me a story. This was when I was young. He said, son, you need to understand how this stuff works. And I said, well, tell me, Dad. He said, this is how it works. He said, when I was at the lowest point of my life, when I felt like I had no more hope, I was on the search for God, and I became heavily involved with spiritualism. And I missed my brother because he had just died a couple months ago. And the lady that was involved in this church, the leader of this spiritualistic group, told me, I can make your brother come back from the dead easily. My dad said, oh. He said, you know what? I miss my brother. I would like to see him. And he said, even though he didn't believe this, he said, when his brother appeared to him, it looked just like him. It sounded just like him. It felt just like his brother. He dressed just like him. And my dad said, I found it so difficult to believe that this was not my brother. He says, and even as a Seventh-day Adventist today, if that were to happen to me again today, I don't know if I would be able to tell the counterfeit apart from that which is true. So the question is, are we ready to stand when Satan brings these spirits of devils in front of us, impersonating the people which we love so much at one point in our lives? In fact, there's a story about an Adventist minister who had only one son. His son was young. He actually passed away. I don't recall exactly how it is. It's a true story. When the son had passed away, the dad for the next couple of weeks, he was so sad. How many of you have kids here? Imagine losing your only son. This minister was so sad. And one day, several weeks later, when it seemed like he was starting to recover, he was in his pastor's office. And while he was there, he looked over to the side and he heard a voice, Daddy. Pastor was puzzled. He said, no, that's not possible. That can't be my son. He said, he took a closer look, and when he looked right in front of him, there his son was. And his son said, Daddy, it's me. He said, no, this is not possible. He said, Daddy, what do you mean it's not possible? Once again, the minister said, no, this is not possible. He said, what do you mean, Daddy? Don't you remember all the fun times that we had? Don't you remember the walk at the parks that we used to take? Don't you remember the times that you used to take me out to eat? And you're telling me that you don't remember who I am? That's what Ellen White says, what she means, when they were going to appear to our most tenderest sympathies. And the minister, he knew the scriptures. He looked at his supposed son that was there, and he said, the dead know not anything. Depart from me in the name of the Lord. Amen. And just like that, the son disappeared. But the question is, that the real thing that we need to know are the scriptures. It's more than just simply coming to church and hearing someone preach about it, but each one of us needs to have a personal experience with the Bible in these last days. I want to read to you another quote that is found in Early Writings, page 88.1. We must well examine the foundation of our hope, for we shall have to give a reason for it from the Scriptures. How many of you genuinely think that you can give a Bible study to someone on the state of the dead? As a Bible worker, I knocked on a lot of doors recently. I knocked on a door one time, and there was four Calvary Chapel ministers right in front of me. Do you think you would be ready to give someone a Bible study on the state of the dead by just simply having five verses memorized? I believe that if we don't, we're headed for trouble in these last days. We must become acquainted with this doctrine, friends. Ellen White continues to say in Early Writings, page 88.1, this delusion will spread, and we shall have to contend with it face to face. And unless we are prepared for it, we shall be ensnared and overcome. But if we do what we can on our part to be ready for the conflict that is just before us, God will do His part, and His all-powerful arm will protect us. He would sooner send every angel out of glory to the relief of faithful souls to make a hedge about them than have them deceived and led away by lying wonders of Satan. Aren't you thankful for that? That even though you might be really busy as a nurse, as a doctor, or as a lawyer, if you say, God, you know what? I'm going to set aside 30 minutes a day just to study your word, specifically the state of the dead. Guess what? God will do His part in the last days to make sure that you won't be deceived. That's good news, friends. Amen. Great Controversy, page 593 and page 594. None but those who have fortified the minds with the truth of the Bible will stand through the last great conflict. How many of you here have been fortifying your mind with the truths of the Bible? I don't know if I can say that. What does it mean to fortify, if I were to ask you? We need that experience, friends. We're also told that surface readers are going to be lost. So we need to do something more than just simply read the Bible, but I believe that we need to actually study the Bible. Now, in order for us to withstand this last day delusion that is to come upon us, it's important to understand what happens when someone dies. Let's go to the book of Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. We're going to go over this very briefly. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a what?
A living soul.
A living soul. So do you have a soul or are you a soul? Okay, good. Because you know these occult spiritualistic groups, you know one of the one things they want you to understand when you join their groups? They say, we want you to understand that your soul is immortal, that you have a soul and that you're not a soul. Do you see the deception there? That's what they want you to understand. So it's important that we understand what it is that happens when someone dies, correct? Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7, let's go there. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7. In reality, we should have these verses memorized, don't you think? Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7. Bible says, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. So what happens when you die? Very simple, right? It's just simply more than just God holding that in a jar when it goes up to heaven. That's really what it is your self-identity. You see, if I get a computer right now and it has no files in there, I have a USB drive, right? I have all my Stephen Bohr sermons, my English papers, my psychology papers, my math homework, all the notes that I've taken for nursing, and I put it into that computer, then guess what? Is that computer going to have the files now? Yes, right? That's what's going to happen when God comes back, when he comes to take us home. He's going to give us back that self-identity that he has taken from us when we die. Now, what's interesting, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17, what did God tell Adam that would happen if he ate of that tree? He would die, right? What did Satan tell Eve in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 14? That if you eat of it, you will what? Not die, right? Now, we believe the first one. We know that God was right, correct? But you see, Satan has still gotten people to believe in the immortality of the soul with the first great deception, hasn't he? Most people believe that you have a soul and that not you are a soul. So guess what? The door for spiritualism is left wide open for people to be deceived. So it's really important for us to understand what happens when someone dies. I would like to warn you of another thing that I believe will take place in these last days. There's a story in the late 1980s, you might have heard of this story, about an offshoot group of Seventh-day Adventists. They began to have Bible studies on a weekly basis, and eventually they got to the subject of angels. And they became so fascinated by these angels, right? Eventually they began to study and they began to say, God, please reveal these angels to us. We would like them to come and to bring us some enlightenment. Guess what? A couple weeks later, an angel appeared to them. And they were shocked. They said, wow, the angel that we've been praying for is here. And guess what? At first, the angel began to whisper things that were true. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. You need to study the scriptures. We are living in the last days. Are those true things? Yes or no? Yes, they are. But eventually, after appealing to their most tender sympathies and gaining their confidence, it began to tell them, you know what? I communicate with the angels Raphael and Uriel, which are angels that you should trust. Now, interestingly enough, those angels are not mentioned in the Bible. But if you look in the Apocrypha, they're mentioned as fallen angels. So this angel would tell them, I communicate with these angels. And eventually he told them, you know what? I have a special mission for you. He says, I want you to go into an electronics store. And because everything belongs to God, I need you to go in there and steal a television. And don't worry, once you steal that television and you go out of the store, come back in 3 more times, and each time you come in, steal another television. But don't worry, he said. I'll make sure that the color of your clothes is changed, your facial expression is changed, so that you'll never be caught. Eventually, these two women that became fascinated by these angels began to communicate with it. And they asked it, what happens when you die? And the angel said, they asked them, does the soul go back to God where it came from? And the angel whispered, of course the soul goes back to where it came from. Notice the subtle deception, right? The angel appeared to have quoted what? Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7, right? But do you see the subtle deception there? Eventually, the angel told him, I have another special mission for you. You know that family that's so close to you? I need you to go. I need you to kill that whole family. True story. It happened in the late 1980s. And when they went to actually attempt to murder this whole family, they killed the wife, and the husband and the son were hospitalized, and they're actually still alive to this day. But when they went to prison, they said, we are so sad that we did not accomplish our mission for God. The question then is, are we ready to stand in these last days? Let's go to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 9. Are we there? Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9. Amen. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing, what? Under the sun. So guess what? If Satan's deception worked in the late 1980s, do you think he's going to use that today, yes or no? Yes. What do you think is going to keep us safe from that delusion? The Word of God. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. We're looking at the last couple of verses before I end here. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. Sorry, verse 14. We're going to be looking at verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. I still hear some pages flipping, so we'll wait till everyone is there. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. I'll end with this. You know, some of us, I know that some of us here understand the state of the dead, right? Yet, this deception works every time if we are not studying God's Word. It's interesting. There was a pioneer by the name of Moses Hull. How many of you here have heard of Moses Hull? 1, 2, 3. Okay, we got a couple people. Moses Hull, during the time of the Adamant Movement, was one of the best apologists on the state of the dead. Spiritualists were converting by the multitudes, Christians who did not have a true understanding of what takes place when someone dies. So Moses Hull, when he told them, no, this is what really happens when you die, to the spiritualists, they actually began to come into the Seventh-day Adventist Church by the multitudes. And so Moses Hull was a powerful tool for God. But one day, he told a group of his fellow pioneer friends, I'm going to go and debate some of these spiritualists. They said, well, if you go, make sure that you take some people with you. He said, nah, he says, I think I got this. He went, began to debate some of these spiritualists, and within no time, when he wanted to say his first words, his tongue got stuck to the roof of his mouth, spiritualists got around him, and they began to enchant him. And to make a long story short, Moses Hull became a spiritualist. Guess what, friends? If there was ever someone who should have been saved from this delusion, it should have been our pioneers, right? But even they fell too. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2 says, if any man thinketh he knoweth anything, he knoweth what? Not as he ought to. And if you think you know it already, guess what? The devil loves to prove people wrong. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12 says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You read the writings of Ellen White, she says, I tell you this, that within our church and our faith, some people will end up giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Could it be that some of us in here could fall into that trap? Yes, sir. In these last days, just like we recall the story of Saul and the Witch of Endor, right? In the most discouraging moment of his life, he consulted a spiritualist. I believe that the type will meet anti-type in these last days. When you're in your most discouraged moment of your life, and it seems like God is not coming through, your family has forsaken you, guess what the devil is going to do? He's going to make one of your family members appear right in front of you. The question once again is, will you be ready to meet that with the thus saith the Lord? My hope and my prayer is that we would, beloved. I really do believe that we are living in the last days. And I don't know if we all believe that, but I sincerely believe that with all my heart. Amen. Why am I a Bible worker? Jesus is coming again. Amen. You know, Satan's power, it's always Satan's tool in these last days, has always been seduction. If that wasn't true, he wouldn't use a harlot found in Revelation chapter 17, dressed and adorned. And what does she get to, who does she make? The people, the kings of the earth, right? To commit fornication. Am I wrong or right? Revelation chapter 13, the lamb-like beast, that power, right? It appears, it attracts people, but once it attracts those people, it speaks as a what? See, these are not just any spirits, beloved. These are spirits that seduce. And Satan is a mighty general. That's who we're up against in these last days. Beloved, when that time comes, and Jesus comes through those clouds, I hope to see you there in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. My hope, my prayer is that we would take time to study God's word in these last days, that we might be ready to meet this last day delusion. How many of you want to say that to God today? Lord, help me to spend time in your word that I may be ready to meet this last day delusion. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we are so thankful that, Lord, while it is that Satan is doing every single thing that he can in these last days to make sure that we will be out of the kingdom of heaven, you are doing everything that you can to make sure that we will be in there. Lord, I know that you want to see every single person here under the sound of my voice in heaven. Lord, I pray that we would be faithful. We know that you have always been faithful. The question is, are we going to be faithful? Lord, I know that in these last days, there are so many things that can distract and divert our minds from what we should be doing, from evangelism and studying your word. Lord, help us to realize that one day, those temporary things will no longer matter. So, Father, while we have time, may we diligently search the scriptures. May we warn others about this deadly last day deception that Satan has to deceive, if possible, even the very elect. So, Lord, may you be with us. And when we go back, I pray that we wouldn't go back to our normal lives, but that, Lord, something would change. And I pray that when we go back home, that we would search the scriptures, and that when that time comes and an evil spirit is presented in front of us, because many will be confronted with that, that we would be ready to meet them with the thus saith the Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.